Now, the 18th State of the Tribes address just wrapped up in the Capitol earlier today. The annual speech started in 2005 as a way to recognize the intergovernment relationship between the Wisconsin government and the state's 11 federally recognized tribes. This year's address, delivered by President Shannon Holsey of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of the Mohican Nation, focused on things like climate change, K-12 education, representation of Native Americans and women in government, and more.
These initiatives are crucial because when tribes succeed, the state of Wisconsin succeeds.
We're talking now about the 2022 State of the Tribes address. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you watch or listen to this year's State of the Tribes address? What stood out to you? Are you a member of a Great Lakes tribe? What do you think is the biggest issue facing your community right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Richard L. Ackley is a retired judge of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Judge Ackley, welcome back to Central Time.
Yes, Rob, good afternoon. The last time we spoke was 2 years ago before the pandemic, and I drove out to UW Green Bay radio station.
That's
so
right.
It's cloudy today, so good to hear your voice.
You too, and not a good day for driving, I think, today.
Correct, correct.
Before we dig into this year's address, Judge Ackley, I know you are a fan, a connoisseur of State of the Tribes addresses. I think you have all the transcripts. Can you talk a little bit about the role of the State of the Tribes address, why it happens in Wisconsin every year?
In 2005, Speaker Gard and Ray DePerry, who was the former tribal chairman from Red Cliff in northern Wisconsin, got together and they found it important for the state of Wisconsin and the legislature to understand the sovereign nations of the tribe, but also to be reminded that tribal people are state citizens, tribal citizens, and federal citizens. And I must also state that we always include the Brotherton, which is a non-federally, non-recognized tribe. And that's important because in 2005, it listed 50,000 Native people. In the 2020 census, there's over 92,000. So it's almost been 100,000. So the population is growing, and it's important to understand that and to respect the government-to-government relationship.
What stood out to you about this year's address? It covered quite a bit of ground.
What stood out, and maybe it's because of my Native American worldview or philosophy, Native people, Indigenous people, think of collectiveness in generations, not that any one generation is great. So it tends to be more inclusive, but the dynamic today of this speech is to ensure the continuation of the relationship with the state of Wisconsin and its uniqueness of tribes. And what stood out is how the tribes handled the pandemic or the COVID. And what also stood out was the collective view, because the 11 tribes come together and they understand what they have to present, but at no time did I see any kind of sort of division amongst the tribes. I'm always surprised that the elected officials cannot just recognize a sovereign nation are also acknowledge the land that they're on. And all across the country now, tribes are doing, universities and other people are doing land acknowledgments, where you just acknowledge that the people were here first and the tribes were here. I mean, that's a historic fact.
President Holsey talked about that multi-generational view on a number of issues, including the environment and the environmental health of the Great Lakes region. Issues like climate change, pipelines, especially Enbridge Line 5, sustainable natural resources. Can you talk about some of what she had to say there and how she saw tribes maybe working with the state government on these issues?
Perhaps I would say, because I have a legalistic indigenous background, that tribes have, in my role is one of neutrality, to have parties come together. But the difficulty the state of Wisconsin is going to have is that the state of Minnesota had the relationship with, to use the pipeline, for example, I believe they were misdemeanors. But with the state of Wisconsin, the legislature, in their wisdom or not in their wisdom, passed laws that they consider demonstrations a felony. Now, I don't know the complete details of that, but I would want people to come to the table or to be understand the issues. But I believe what's going to happen in Wisconsin, that the federal courts will perhaps, and the federal administrations will probably be more important, given the fact that the state is somewhat polarized because of a Republican-dominated legislature. And I respect the current governor and what he's trying to do, but I see Wisconsin and the tribes with that specific issue to be resolved in federal court.
Now, something that struck me was that President Holsey, in some cases, was looking for a common ground, I think, on some issues. She also went into some things that have a lot of partisan division on them here in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country, including voting rights. And she raised concerns about efforts to change Wisconsin's voting laws. Were you surprised to see her go there?
No, I was not, because let's not forget that a tribal person is a state citizen, is a tribal citizen, and a federal citizen. And all we're asking for, at least I believe in the legalistic system, is tribes have a right to vote. Now, I'm a member of a tribe where we allow absentee voting. Across the country, other tribes have different formats of voting. But what I believe in is transparency. And I don't believe partisanship should enter the access to vote.
We're talking to Richard L. Ackley, retired judge of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. We're looking at issues raised in today's State of the Tribes address delivered earlier today at the state capitol by President Shannon Holsey of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of the Mohican Nation. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to the address, if you watched or listened, your questions about it, about the role of the State of the Tribes address, your thoughts on particular issues raised in it, including oil pipelines, a lot of court cases coming on that for sure, investments in education, Native American mascot issues, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I just mentioned education. President Holsey called for more investment in K-12 education and looking at the history of Native Americans and their interaction with state and federal governments.
The impact of these actions authorized by the United States government upon Native American people and cultures is something that we will never truly make whole. But there must be a willingness to teach a balanced account of U.S. history that incorporates accurate, comprehensive, and relevant curriculum in Native American history and culture.
Judge Ackley, a lot of controversy about the way issues of American history and race are taught in schools. What did you think of what President Holsey had to say there?
I would personally endorse her strategy or her assessment. One of the interesting dynamics of this country, the United States of America, is they don't recognize there are 574 tribes. In the most recent census, 2020, we have over 6.7 million people. And unless the European person becomes aware of their Euro-American dynamic, tribes have a right to their own cultural immersion with language. They also have a right, the new generations, each generation has a better understanding of how to deal with these issues. I have a daughter who's a professor out in the state of Washington. What they study, reason why I share that is I went to New Zealand, and the Maori people in New Zealand, they're connected within that country. I mean, that's really their country. But the difficulty we're having is partisanship ought not to take place in education. It ought not to take place in the universities, the dynamics that are taking place. I believe the newer generations are pretty knowledgeable how to engage and have a better understanding of the diversity of tribes across this country.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I may be a little nervous on this, but I believe that Shannon should run for governor. I really like what she was saying.
Tom, thanks. So Tom listened to the speech, impressed by President Holsey there. And actually, that reminds me, Richard, Shannon Holsey talked about the need for Native Americans and women in particular, she made the case, to be involved in the political system around the state. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, and I'm going to be really careful about this to the gentleman in Milwaukee. As a person who respects all genders, I believe that Shannon is comfortable enough in her leadership role within her tribe. I think too often citizens across the state don't recognize that you can articulate yourself as a federal citizen. You can articulate yourself as a state citizen. You can articulate yourself as a tribal citizen. So in some ways, she represents, and I believe the inclusiveness, elders are important in tribal communities. People of middle age are important in tribal communities. The more we can see that, that is what we're all about. But I believe her role today was to make some attempt to educate the legislators. And I can always tell because I watched it in a video. I have all the copies of all the State of the Tribe addresses. I've reviewed most of the videos. And to me, it would be nice if the both parties could just put aside and say, we'll find a way to work in cooperation with the Wisconsin tribes because they want to respect the government-to-government relationship. And over the years, that's been honored. But to me, tribal work ought not to be factionized. In other words, the state legislature has an opportunity to benefit from that. And as much as I listened later, there were two elders, World War II, this is not to criticize Speaker Voss. He said, the greatest generation in the Native community, the greatest is all generations. So that's the theme, I think, of Shannon's. We're inclusive, but we have to make connections to every generation.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about today's 18th Annual State of the Tribes Address. Richard Ackley is with us, retired judge of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think tribal groups in Wisconsin and the Wisconsin state government can work together better? Were there particular issues raised in the State of the Tribes address you want to see more focus on, ask about, share your thoughts on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the 2022 State of the Tribes address delivered earlier today by President Shannon Holsey of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of the Mohican Nation. Here's a part of how President Holsey wrapped up her speech.
It is said that if you are not hungry for justice, equity, and inclusion, it is perhaps because you are too full of privilege.
Richard Ackley stays with us. He's a retired judge of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. You can join in with your questions about the speech, about some of the issues, the many issues raised in it, your reactions if you watched or listened at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out another caller now. Richard is with us in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on. The question I have is there's such strong lobbyist groups that have many politicians in their pockets. And how is there a lobbyist group for the Native American? And if there is, how strong is it?
Richard, thanks for the call. Are there lobbying operations for Native American, for tribal nations at the state or federal level?
I would personally say the lobbyist is a secondary issue to the issue of the affirmation of a government-to-government relationship. And the other issue is tribes have a strong relationship with the federal government, and they have a strong relationship based upon treaties. And also, lobbying is a context of trying to persuade a specific issue. And I believe each tribe in their own delivery will lobby whatever they choose to. But what I was impressed with today was that Shannon mentioned a series of bills that have benefit to the tribes. And to me, that's a form of being inclusive in the lobbying. I was just in Two Rivers on Sunday for a memorial service of a young 15-year-old boy who drowned at the high school. But the context here is we are live in a state where we need to understand that lobbying is not the specific answer. What the answer is, how do we respect the government-to-government relationship?
Richard, thanks for the call. Louis joins us next in Oconto. Louis, hello.
Yeah, excuse me. I was really touched when they talked about the Line 5 and how there's really not a lot of conversation between the government in Madison and how it's going to affect the tribes and everybody that uses northern Wisconsin.
Louis, thanks for the call. Line 5, a big issue, and President Holsey spent some time on that, Judge Ackley.
Yeah, and since I'm a member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and I believe in total transparency, as I said to you, in my role as a tribal judge, I served in a neutrality position. But as I stated, I believe that, and it was well defined, that this issue is going to either be solved by the federal court, because the difficulty we have, different than the state of Minnesota, where demonstrators, I think it's a misdemeanor, but in the state of Wisconsin, if I understand the legislature, they have demonstrators through the effect of lobbying. It's a felony. So it's difficult for me to understand how, as the gentleman from Oconto states, how this is going to be resolved, given the fact it's a federal, it's also the company is from Canada. Some things have to be taken, resolved, but I see, maybe it's my legalistic indigenous dynamic, I see it to be solved within the federal court system.
Thanks for that call. Judge Ackley, in the address we heard about Native American images used as mascots in schools, and President Holsey really laid out the personal impact that might have, not just on students, but on other members of Native American communities. Can you talk about what we heard there?
I would say, because of the first address given in 2005, and I have all those, that was a major theme of Mr. Ray DePerry, former tribal chairman of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. And to me, I have come to see the Washington Redskins, now called the Commanders. To me, anytime you can change an image, you can change something that's disrespectful to a Native individual. To me, you start seeing us, or seeing the community tribal folks, as human beings, as which they are. But also what's helping in that, she did address that many of the tribes are doing cultural immersion programs with language, and they're doing many, many things, food sovereignty, education. So I am always hopeful, but I believe that I didn't know what was going to take place from 2005. And for me to see in 17 years all these changes at mascots, there's still some that have to be dealt with. But to me, that's a positive change.
Another theme that came up a couple times during the address was reminding people that Native Americans aren't just subjects of anthropological studies or distant figures in history. They're here now. How important is it to restate that in an address like this?
It is very important, because to me, as my former bishop in Oklahoma, I'm very active in the Episcopal Church, he said, if you're ignorant of being ignorant, you're still ignorant. And listening to the state legislature, I wouldn't mind having a one-on-one and do a survey with each legislator, no matter what party, and what do you know about the Native experience? I spent a lot of time knowing about the non-Native experience, and the Native world is so complex. The Native world views, the languages, the experience, the respect for creation. I can go on and on and on, but in our short time, this is where I see these state addresses bringing some awareness to the elected officials.
Another part of that awareness actually maybe came up in President Holsey's talk about economic diversity for tribal nations, and talking about cultural tourism opportunities. Can you talk? Is that something that you think is a good prospect for the future?
I would say cultural tourism is, but I think we have sort of missed, you know, in her address, if I look through the past, in the state of Wisconsin, the Oneida tribe owns a bank, and they have opened it to, you know, it's a small community bank. Up north, there's other, the Menominee tribe has their focus upon, you know, the sustainable cutting of trees. The the basketball courts that have their type of wood species. To me, the economic vitality, tourism is one aspect, but as I would say, you have to be fully participating in the economy. I sort of think we missed something this year that should have been hyped more a little bit. The health departments of tribes and the COVID, that they were able to follow a very healthy, strict model to protect the young, the middle-aged, the older. And we didn't have the controversy over masks, the controversy over vaccinations. So that's a plus for tribal communities.
Judge Ackley, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Take care. Peace.
It's Richard Ackley, retired judge of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. He talked to us about the 2022 State of the Tribes address, which took place earlier today. If you missed it, you can find it archived over at WPR.org. We'll have that full address up there, and you can find ones from past years as well.